Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome back to the Prep to Pro NBA Draft Podcast. My name is Ben Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host Max Carlin. Max, how's it going today?
Doing all right, Ben. How are you?
Starting June 1st, Bet Online will serve as a title sponsor for Armchair as well as our show. This will open up the possibility to develop merchandise lines as well as potentially host live events once we return to a semblance of normalcy. In addition to BetOnline coming aboard, Armchair will now serve as the host network for the world's largest skateboarding podcast, The Nine Club. Hosted by professional skaters Chris Roberts and Kelly Hart, The Nine Club talks every week with the biggest names in skating. They're on social media at The Nine Club. To see more, search Armchair Media wherever you get your pods. Also, check us out on Armchair's website, armchairmedianetwork.com, and their socials at Armchair Media. Armchair Media, those who can, do. Those who don't, can't. Take a seat. I'm all right, and before we get into our topic today, we have some news to discuss. First and foremost, that the NBA draft date has finally been set, at least tentatively. As of right now, the NBA draft will be held on October 15th, and the draft lottery will be held on August 25th. So we have a good 3-4 months more of 2020 draft content and 2020 draft to think about. Yeah, at least at this point with the NBA seems to be coming back in some capacity, and there's finally some structure being kind of understood, and we have a framework for and a timeline for the NBA draft. So it's still yet to be seen what the draft process is going to look like, really, but at least we have set dates now to look forward to.
Yeah, it's not at all cruel that this is the draft that we get a 4-month extension of the cycle on. We'll figure it out. And then the other piece of news, of course, just dropped this morning. We're recording this on Friday, June 5th, that Oklahoma State has been barred from postseason play for the 2020-2021 college basketball season, which is relevant because the future number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham, is slated to go to Oklahoma State. So remains to be seen if he'll honor that commitment. There are a lot of, things factoring into that, like the fact that Cade's brother is a coach at Oklahoma State. But I mean, I think we could see him, switch and go to the G League. At this point, I kind of doubt that he would go to another college. But you'd have to think the G League is at least more on his radar now than it was before. And that would be pretty nuts if Cade winds up in the G League. I personally don't want to see it. I want to see him as the star of the show. I want to have him in like the BART database so that we have his ridiculous season, just like for historical purposes. I think like only having 10 to 12 games of Cade instead of 30 would really stink. It sucks for just fans of basketball. The NCAA, again, punishing kids who had nothing to do with whatever infraction they're punishing this time. It's just awful on every count. And curious to see what Cade does. But excited to watch him wherever he is next year. It will be fun.
And there was a report that came out this morning. I believe it was Jeff Goodman that reported that he declined a pretty lucrative G League contract prior. So I'm not sure if that'll impact his decision to maybe rethink that decision and go to the G League, or how much a postseason run is really going to impact him. But like Max said, I, I mean, I hope wherever Cade ends up is a place that, where we can get as much Cade Cunningham as possible, because I really need some more new Cade Cunningham games in my life after all the 2020 stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, if you want to hear a little more in depth on Cade Cunningham, we have a lot to talk about today, so we're not going to. But go back to episode 4 with Ross Homan, our 2021 preview, where we talked about the whole class, but obviously had a lot of Cade content in there because he's a very, very special prospect.
All right, so let's get into our actual topic today, which is Max and I both made median outcome boards. So we both ranked 1 through 30 based on if we were only drafting for median outcome. And the draft is obviously an exercise in searching for stars and shooting for upside, but this is an interesting exercise to look at the draft and look at rankings through a different lens and looking which prospects still can provide surplus value even if they aren't able to hit their ultimate ceilings, and which ones aren't able to provide value if they aren't able to hit that ceiling and thus would rank lower on a board that doesn't take upside into account. So Max, why don't we get started with
this? Yeah, so we did this separately. We have not seen each other's boards yet. So, I mean, we're going to get Ben's live reaction to mine and vice versa. In my tier one, I have three guys. It's two guys from my normal tier one and one guy from my normal tier two. However, the guy from tier two is actually ranked first for me. So I have one Onyeka Okongwu, two Killian Hayes, and three Anthony Edwards. What do you have in your tier one, Ben?
Okay, I have five in my tier one. I have three from my normal tier one and two from my normal tier two. So first, I have Killian Hayes, Onyeka Okongwu, Devin Vassell, Anthony Edwards, and LaMelo Ball in my tier. So a bit more extended, but same three guys as you right there. So I think the obvious place to start is Onyeka, who both of us have moved up significantly from our actual boards, in which both of us are not, I wouldn't say crazy low, but not super high on Onyeka, just given the lack of utility and real upside a big man that can have in the NBA today isn't really special. But when you're talking about median outcome, I think Onyeka is probably, I mean, I had Killian Hayes ahead. Onyeka or Hayes for me is just the safest bet to be a positive NBA player, even if he isn't able to hit an ultimate ceiling outcome where he's a really valuable big. I mean, just with his ability to be a versatile pick and roll defender and play finish on offense, I think that was a pretty easy tier one inclusion with him.
Yeah, I should have said this at the start, but my tier one is, I'm thinking of them as like plus starter types. And the reason I have Onyeka one is, yeah, like no matter what defensive system he finds himself in, I think he'll be good. I mean, I think he's going to come into the league as probably one of the better role men in the league. But I think just at his median, you know, he's probably not a volume post scorer. He's probably not a volume face-up scorer. Probably is like doesn't become anything special as a shooter. Maybe, you know, he's hitting, you know, spot ups, he's hitting corner threes, but I mean, no, just like not a game changing offensive player by any means, like a good role man, has value, but not a crazy amount. And then I think something that we've definitely talked about before is that like he's not the brilliant mind I think that you need to be like a dominant defender, but I think he's a very, very, you know, scheme versatile defender that will have a lot of value no matter what. And we'll be able to play in big moments. So it's just like, I would be very surprised if Onyeka Okongwu is not a good NBA player. So he rises for me from 6 to 1. It's just thinking that though, definitely the higher end outcomes for Onyeka Okongwu are a bit farther fetched. And I mean, the high end not even necessarily being that high, because I don't think that like he's an all defense big, like quite at that level. I don't think that he's like a star level scorer or like special shooter or you know, offensive hub in the way that we've discussed. Like that's the only way that a big man can really get to ridiculous levels of offensive impact is by being like a really ridiculous all-time level shooter or offensive hub as a passer. I don't think that's the case for him. But I'd be so surprised if he's not a very good player.
I mean, yeah, the next guy we both had is like I said, Killian Hayes, who I think like a big reason for me putting him here is just being confident in his overall defensive value, no matter really what he does with the pull up shooting and with the self creation and with his maybe right hand development and more athletic improvement. I mean, no matter where that goes, and at his median, he's likely not someone who ends up being
a pretty advanced creator, gonna be a good shooter, not a great shooter, still gonna add a lot of value with his playmaking, and is probably gonna be a pretty impactful defender, especially as a team defender. And still at 6'5", someone who can play on and off the ball, someone who, like I said, isn't a star, but is definitely a positive starter. And just somebody who is, again, like one of the reasons he's so high for both of us in on our actual board is that even if he doesn't manage to hit his high end outcomes, which he definitely has and which he has shown to have throughout this season with improved pull up and athletic and his athletic abilities, he's still going to be a valuable player even if he can't hit that.
Yeah, I mean, on top of the, like, I think the defense definitely gives him like a, you know, level of floor impact that's nice. But I mean, I just buy him as like a good pick and roll player. Maybe, you know, if he doesn't develop the right hand a lot, if the pull up only ends up being okay, like he'll probably only be a fine pick and roll player. But like, I mean, I just think like I just buy him enough as a pick and roll player that I, you know, I kind of think that Killian is a pretty good bet to be a starting lead guard. I mean, the problem definitely comes if like, I mean, I guess if he never really figures out the shot at like an adequate level, which seems really unlikely, but I guess it is possible. I think that's probably lower than his median outcome for sure. I mean, if he really has no offhand development, he will be pretty limited. But I mean, still, even with all those things accounted for, I think that like with the defensive floor, with the expectation that he'll shoot at a pretty good level, he just seems like a really solid bet to be a plus starter type.
Yeah. And as we talked about, I mean, over and over, the combination of all the things he does well at the moment, I mean, combined with his age and the rapid development curve he's been on over the last couple of years, just boosts that value. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the inclusion that a lot of people are going to be a little surprised by for both, I think you had him tier one as well, is Anthony Edwards. But I'm guessing for you, I mean, this is the thought process for me, that it's back to the idea that you've definitely brought up before, that Anthony Edwards has so many different avenues to being a valuable player.
Yeah.
And so while like a guy who I think is widely considered more of a boom or bust type, you know, would be a surprising inclusion here, I just think there are so many avenues to Anthony Edwards being like a plus starter, where it's, you know, he starts trying on defense all the time, or, you know, he just becomes a really good off the catch shooter. Because I mean, something that I've definitely focused on in the past is how good of an off-ball player he can be. You know, if just, I mean, just the shot making alone, if it's kind of where we expect it to be, will be highly valuable. So there are just so many ways for Anthony Edwards to turn into a valuable player. And maybe it's in a way that's kind of difficult from a team building perspective. But I just think that like in terms of at least regular season value, which I think is kind of what I was going for with this, that Anthony Edwards is pretty high in this class.
Yeah, and as we've talked about plenty on this podcast, and I'm going to reiterate because it's so important, true boom or bust players really are rare and not as common as we think. Like Anthony Edwards is, for all his flaws, is not a boom or bust player, because he has so a traditional boomer bust player with a high ceiling but a low floor, because he really does have so many avenues to succeed. I mean, my thinking was like that, mostly just for his scalability and his fit as an off-ball guy with his cutting. And like I said, I mean, he has bad off-ball habits, like the fact that he dribbles after every off-screen action. But again, those are habits that are teachable. And especially in a system where he's never really had to play off the ball in his career. I mean, at Holy Spirit and in Atlanta Express in high school, Georgia, he had the keys to the offense. He's always had the keys to the offense. And he's never really been instructed to play off the ball. And he's never had to do any of these little things to stay on the floor, get minutes, to earn usage. And I think, again, just obviously I don't have any insight into this, but listening to him talk, I mean, he seems like someone who is very aware of himself and insightful. So I have faith in him, like as much faith as I can have without having a lot of intel of him being willing to accept a different role. And I think it's clear that with his pure athletic tools, he has the ability to do so. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways, like Max initially started this, that Edwards can end up hitting an outcome that is below a star, but still a valuable piece on a good team.
Yeah, without going like too off the rails, I worry a little bit because I think he's probably the favorite to be the number one overall pick, and the gifted usage thing would be like a little bit of a concern for me.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, unless he's drafted by like the Warriors. So the two guys that you had in your first tier that I did not have were Vassell and LaMelo. Do you want to talk a little bit about why they were included for you in tier one? And is your tier one the same as mine? Is it like plus starters?
Yes, but probably not as firm. Like plus starters or just like or guys who are definitely going to be starters on good teams. But so, uh-huh. Yeah, pretty much. So LaMelo was one I wavered on for quite a bit. I wasn't sure. He's the last guy in my tier one, and I was really close to putting him in tier two because there's definitely the concerns with one with the obvious areas of improvement, that being physicality and the pull-up shooting, and if he can and defense, of course, and if he can't improve in those areas, how much value can he really add without a lot of usage? But I just come back to the size and the playmaking, and at his median, he's probably not going to be someone who's a super high-level pull-up shooter, still going to have defensive struggles and probably still going to have those physical struggles. But again, another guy who, if he can improve like in any of those areas in at a decent amount, which assuming at his median, he probably will, he's a guy who's going to be someone who could add value off the ball. And if he improves the jumper, someone who should be able to play off the ball, who again, I believe is a better off ball player than he generally gets credit for, just because it's never really a thing he's been asked or had to do at all. Yeah. LaMelo is one that I could go either way on, and I was unsure on. Vassell is someone I feel more strongly about having in this tier, just because, one, I'm a big believer in the defense. Just the value his team defense is going to bring gives him a place in a rotation I'm pretty confident in. And then in his median, he's probably not going to be the level of difficult shot maker that I believe he could hit at the ceiling, but he's going to be someone who's reliable on spot-ups, hopefully can attack a closeout, and then hit the occasional pull-up, and not someone who's really exceptional at it, but someone who does it time to time, and someone who can, because of that, has some utility as a passer, but not someone who's any sort of like reliable creator. But yeah, I mean, I feel just like with the scarcity of wings and like his defense and the shooting and hopefully some ancillary shot creation he can bring, I have confidence in him being a positive starter.
Yeah, LaMelo was the one that was kind of interesting to me because thinking about like, I mean, we've talked to the linking role guys for Haliburton and Denny, but not for LaMelo. And I think that like, I mean, much like his brother, like a kind of like middle of the pack outcome for him is filling some sort of linking role. Yeah. But ultimately I left him out of my tier one because I don't know that like at his median, I think he's probably a pretty harmful defender, and I'm just like not confident in him as a finisher or shooter at the median either to really be all that, like, I don't know, a plus starter, plus rotation or like starter maybe, but I'm just a little more skeptical of him, being at a really high level, for just like a middle of the pack outcome for him. And then for Devin Vassell, I mean, I have him high in the next tier, but just for tier one, a bit of concern that like he's only like a solid spot up shooter, that the high level shot making is not there, that in certain defensive schemes he's not enabled to generate the most defensive impact because of his need to really be doing that off the ball. That without the shot making, that a lot of his potential for passing impact is kind of muted. I think all these things just come together to make him a little less safe than most people would think. And I mean, I think it's something that you would agree with as well, that he's probably less of a floor guy than some people make him out to be, and more of an interesting high end outcome guy. But I mean, nonetheless, I'm pretty confident in him as like a starter plus rotation type, just a little more unsure of him as just a really solid bet to be a plus starter on account of just, I don't think he has any one glaring flaw, but just a bunch. I mean, it kind of the inverse of Edwards in that like Edwards has a bunch of different avenues to be good. I think there are a bunch of different ways that Vassell could be derailed from being a really plus starter, But I mean, I still have him like, you know, rising a bit for the median outcome board.
Yeah, I mean, I feel similarly. Just and again, I think our feelings aren't that far apart on either of these guys. So I think with that, are we good to move on to our tier two?
Sure. My tier two then is, it starts with LaMelo, who I don't think we need to, you know, talk about anymore. Then he's followed by Tyrese Maxey, Devin Vassell, Isaac Okoro, and Cole Anthony. LaMelo and Vassell, I think, as I conveyed, just a little bit lower on their mid-level outcomes, but you're still pretty confident in them as like starter level players. And I should add this tier for me is like starter level slash positive rotation. So expecting them to be pretty solid NBA players. I guess for Maxey and Cole are like fairly similar in that I see them as like combo guards, pretty confident in both of them as shooters, more confident in Maxey as a point of attack defender. But honestly, like I've risen a little bit on Cole as a point of attack defender. Like he's not bottom of the barrel for these lottery guards. Like he's actually okay. Like definitely has footwork issues he needs to clean up in pick and roll particularly, but like not too bad laterally. Like does try a fair amount. And then of course, I mean, we like him as an off ball defender. The problem for the NBA projection on defensive end is definitely size and length. I mean, length is probably a bigger deal than size. But just fairly confident in Cole as, you know, in the right context, starting guard. You know, I think like we talked about with PD, like probably needs like a jumbo creator next to him. But I mean, I'd be fairly surprised if at the very least he's not like a really good guard off the bench. Just as a guy who is a pretty impressive self creator, and then has some, you know, can get by at least defensively. And then Maxey, I mean, a fairly similar story. Very confident in him as like a two position guard defender. Pretty confident in the shot. As we talked about with PD, really like him as a slasher. Just, I mean, I think he's a starting guard. You know, maybe like not the highest value archetype by any means. Probably the lowest. But just, I'd be fairly surprised if Maxey is not like a solid NBA player.
Yeah, at Maxey's median, I think he's probably not going to be like the highest level of shooter that he can reach, but he's still going to be a positive enough one as a catch and shoot guy, and he should be able to hit, especially mid-range pull-ups, should be a fine enough pull-up three shooter. And yeah, I mean, just a lot of confidence in, like we've talked about, the three-level scoring. He is going to be a really positive slasher and finisher with just all of his tools there. He's going to be someone who's going to be able to have that floater game is going to be reliable for him day one. He's going to be able to hit mid-range pull-ups, going to be able to shoot from three with some versatility, and just that three-level scoring gives him a certain floor, and that is median. You assume, I mean, there's a little bit of passing, maybe not as good of a passer as he could be, a little bit of passing improvement. Defense, like I said, should be as solid as he can get for a 6'3" guard. So yeah, just someone like Cole playing off a jumbo creator. And yeah, and for Cole, it comes down to the shooting for me, just being really confident in his pull-up shooting, and just, yeah, having a lot of confidence in that skill being there. And even if it's not elite, I think at the median, it's probably pretty good, which just opens up his entire offensive repertoire, makes driving easier, is going to make passing easier for him, and is just going to be an all-around better time for Cole Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, and the other guy that I have in this tier is Isaac Okoro, who I think, you know, at his median, really high-level defender, probably not quite, you know, an all-defense level, but very good. And, I mean, I think that gives him definitely an impact floor that's pretty high. And then offensively, I think at his median is a very good slasher, you know, can kind of play as like a small big man. I'm curious, what do you think like Isaac Okoro at his median is as a shooter?
Yeah, that was where that was what I thought about a lot. And I also have Okoro in this tier. I actually haven't said my tier, so I can say that after this little thing. So yeah, I mean, I'll answer your question first and be like, my answer is good enough to open up the rest of his game enough to make it valuable. So I don't think he's like at his median, he's going to be a guy who is like someone who's not bad enough that scouting reports completely ignore, who defenses are going to close out to on like on instinct alone. Like he's not going to be a guy that you never close out to. And even if he's a guy that maybe you might be better off giving up a spot up, I think defenses are going to respect his shot enough to the point where he's useful as a passer, useful as a slasher, is going to draw a ton of fouls, is going to get to the free throw line a lot. And again, defense, even if he's not like a monster stock guy, he's going to be a guy who, kind of like we saw at Auburn, is going to be able to just take guys out of the game with his point of attack and his just like clingy off-ball defense. I mean, yeah, I think at his median, I mean, his shooting ceiling probably isn't that high anyways. I mean, but I think if his shooting ceiling is like passable spot up wing, his shooting median is probably somewhere like just good enough to where he's not a total liability in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, like also for inclusion in this tier for me, like the positive rotation idea comes into mind where like Isaac Okoro playing on a second unit, like, is a pretty overwhelming physical presence to the point where like he could just like play on the ball a fair amount and like dominate as a slasher and then probably shut down whoever like the main bench creator on the other team is. And he would be a pretty useful rotation player and then can like in certain scenarios, definitely, you know, slot in as like a useful starter. But I think, yeah, a guy that like has some role versatility and just has like an impact floor brought by that defense that I think is pretty solid. And I mean, like I've said in the past, I mean, I think like we both said that, you know, he's definitely underrated as a slasher. He just has a lot of skill in that respect. He's made huge strides as a handler. Yeah. Like he is fairly explosive. And then just as a finisher, he's, you know, really ridiculous with his strength and touch and balance. There was something else I wanted to mention that I'm kind of blanking on right now. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I think I don't know about for you, but for me, Okoro does actually fall a couple spots in this. He falls from 5 to 7, remains in the second tier in both my normal board and this one. And that's, I think, a reflection of something that I think, again, is a little counterintuitive, that I definitely view Okoro as more of an upside play than I think the average, draft analyst does. I think definitely a little less safe on account of the fact that he could be a pretty bad offensive player, and I just probably higher on his offensive upside as opposed to others.
He falls from 7 to 8 for me, so really not much change for my board. And then yeah, for my last guy, I had one more guy in tier 4 in my second tier. My second tier was Cole, was because I had LaMelo and Vassell in my first tier. I had Cole Anthony, Tyrese Maxey, Okoro. And then my last guy was Kyra Lewis, who I think I'm like, the perception of Lewis seems to be as like this really upsidey guy with his burst. When I think I look at him in this exercise as a guy who I have a lot of confidence in to provide value as like a secondary guard, or like a second or third guard on offense. Like we talked about, he's going to be monstrous attacking closeouts with his acceleration. Going to generate a lot of rim pressure. Going to shoot spot ups at a competent level. Even if at his me and he doesn't hit the level of pull up shooting where he's viable as a lead guard, or as like a full time lead guard, I think he is going to be easily a good enough spot-up shooter to add a lot of value off the ball there, and someone who maybe should be able to shoot the pull-up occasionally, and someone who, I mean, again, at his median isn't really going to be a special, even close to the special pick-and-roll creator, someone who can run a pick-and-roll every once in a while, whose passing hopefully improves enough to the point where he can add some more value there on the ball. And then defensively, again, going to be limited by his size and his frame, but someone who should be solid as a team defender and solid as a point of attack defender, even if a slight negative, just because of his size and his position. And again, Kyra was another one I wavered on the end of this tier or the beginning of the next tier. But I think like he definitely falls towards like like the plus rotation, as I could really see him being a guy who adds value next to a jumbo creator in the same way that Cole and Maxey do, but not as intensely, next to a jumbo creator, and also someone who can succeed on the ball against second units with his speed and hopefully some craft in the pick and roll improvement and some pull up improvement as he develops, and just being as young as he is, giving him room for that.
Yeah, I feel like we should probably just move on to the next tier, because I have Kyra first in my next tier, ranked at the same number as you. I have now pulled up your board. This is the first time I'm looking at it. And we both have Kyra ranked 9th on this. I came down on him in the next tier, and you had him in the second tier. And I mean, yeah, my evaluation of him is pretty damn similar to yours, where buy him less as like an upside gamble, more as just a pretty solid plus rotation guy. But I think the reason that I put him in the third tier as opposed to the second, and my third tier is just labeled plus rotation as opposed to starter / plus rotation, is because I think if Kyra's a starter, he's probably a very low end one, probably like really not ideal for your contention hopes if he's your starter. So I came down on him as more of a plus rotation guy. But yeah, same idea, where I think that, you know, definitely has utility, you know, as a pick and roll player, as a guy who create pace. Another one who's a really underrated point of attack defender. But I think a guy who I think evens out as a nice rotation player, but just with his decision making deficiencies, how much of a one position player he is, at least on the defensive end. I think not quite to the level of confidence that I have in the other guys, as really plus players.
Should we go through our third tiers?
Yeah. So going through our third tiers, we both have the same guy at 10 and 11, or same guys at 10 and 11, in James Wiseman and Patrick Williams. And then I have Obi Toppin, Tyrese Haliburton, Denny Avdia, Xavier Tillman, Desmond Bane, and Grant Riller. And again, for me, this is like plus rotation players. Who do you have yours, Ben?
So mine is like plus rotation, spot starter, pretty similar concept. I have those same guys in a different order. I have Wiseman, Patrick Williams, Xavier Tillman, Obi Toppin, Desmond Bane, Danny Avdia, Tyrese Haliburton, Grant Riller. And I've added, I also have Josh Green and Alexei Pokusevski in this tier. So really similar. Okay.
So, I mean, on Wiseman and Pat, I think our thinking is probably very similar, seeing them as well, Wiseman as like a, you know, pretty high minutes regular season guy who's pretty solid, offers a lot of team building constraints, very difficult in the playoffs, but just as a guy who is like, you know, pretty positive in his value in the regular season, but probably in an ideal team construction wouldn't be your starter, just because of the, you know, obligations that come with that and expectations.
Yeah, I think Wiseman is one of the guys, if not the guy for me in this class, with the narrowest margin between floor and ceiling. I think there's not a ton of room for up or downside with him, really. I think this kind of plus rotation spot starter, like even though we have this at his median, and his high end is maybe like a probably not even plus starter. I mean, at least not in the postseason. This is pretty sound to where he is. I mean, yeah, like we said so many times on the show, just a guy who is going to be a fine regular season big man. Someone is going to be able to start against certain teams and going to have a lot of success against certain teams. And going to be someone who succeeds in the second unit. I mean, yeah, so like pretty basic, kind of like pretty safe, like not a lot of FOMO with Wiseman.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a little... I think there's a bit of a wider range than you do. I think on the low end, especially after now, so he last played in November, and I mean, we didn't talk about this at the beginning, but with, you know, the NBA, the tentative start date for the 2020-2021 season is December 1, which isn't going to happen, but that would mean that Wiseman is going over a year without playing basketball. And this is already a guy who's a very low field player. So I mean, with his size being 7'1" with a 9'3.5" standing reach, like I don't think it's hard to envision him completely flaming out, But I could definitely see a world where he's really, really bad. Just because if the feel level is that low, and just it's really concerning that the thing that he's had to improve is feel, and he hasn't had the one thing that you need to do that, which is on-court reps. So yeah, I think the range is a bit wider. And I think like in the regular season, I could definitely see him being like a pretty plus starter, as opposed to just, you know, a kind of like middling rotation guy or like plus rotation guy. But I think at his median, he's a useful rotation guy. He's someone who's nice to have, but
yeah,
you know, definitely not someone you want to build around.
Fairly simple. Not somebody nice to have, not somebody you want to be paying number one pick kind of money to, but that's a different issue.
I mean, moving on to Pat Williams, the guy we both have 11th. I don't know. I'm very confident in him as an interior defender. I think at his median, he shoots spot ups just fine. That sounds like a nice rotational four to me. I like his body as a four. I think just fits like comfortably into that role as a guy you'd want in a rotation. Not a starting level player, but a guy who's useful, doesn't really take much away on either end.
Yeah, and part of my thought was, at Pat's high end, you hope that he can really make some of those passing and handling and pull-up shooting flashes a part of his game consistently. But I think at his median, I mean, if he can really improve even one of those offensive skills and make them useful, I think that goes a long way to making him like a positive guy you want in your rotation, and especially against second units where his size and potential skill developments can be overwhelming against bench players where as a starter and against better lineups and with better rosters, he's pretty much relegated to being a spot up off ball guy, which he's gonna do fine. I mean, with his like 86 odd free throws, confident shooting, spot ups, pull ups this year. But as someone playing against bench units, hopefully someone who can handle more of an on ball load a little bit. And then defense, agreed with you. I mean, just someone who I have a lot of confidence as like an interior defending four, even if he never figures out the perimeter movement to the degree that he hopefully could. I mean, he's gonna protect the rim. He's going to be a useful team defender. He's going to have a lot of energy on that end. So, I mean, just again, like another positive rotation player with a good degree of versatility.
Yeah, I mean, I think a Pat Williams who like, you know, achieves a low end outcome as a perimeter defender, where he's just like pretty flammable on the perimeter, is still like a valuable defender just because of the interior stuff. That's like a piece you want to have. And I mean, it's certainly not someone who's like, you know, really factoring into maybe your best lineups, but just like a cog who can fit in when it works. And I think that's something that's valuable to have.
Being so young and already good at so many things and so physically developed, I mean, there's just too many indicators to really like too many indicators for me to be that low on his median outcome here.
So next I've got Obi. And I like Obi to me is kind of the small range of outcomes guy where like, I'm confident he's going to be a good offensive player. I'm pretty skeptical he's going to be a great one. And I mean, he's obviously not going to be a bad one. And then I'm confident he's going to be a bad defender. So, I mean, I just think that he's, you know, an offensive rotation big, will be a good offensive player, not amazing. I guess like at the high end, he's like a very ridiculous shooter. And can really like facilitate out of the post, I guess. And like, I guess is, what, probably a non-disastrous center defender somehow. But I mean, I think no matter what, he presents so many team building issues that you're never looking at him as like a plus starter type. He's really more on that spot starter idea. But yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I think I'm fairly confident in Obi as like a moderately useful rotation guy, and also fairly confident in, you know, him not being much more or less than that.
Yeah, I mean, I could actually envision lower end offensive outcomes with Obi than you, I think, just because, I mean, considering his offensive context at Dayton was so perfect and he was put in position to maximize his abilities at all times, thinking especially if he's drafted top five high, he's put into a team that doesn't have a creative offensive scheme, that isn't willing to maximize his his abilities with motion and things like that. And he's someone who's thrust into a high leverage creation kind of role. I think he could definitely perform worse on offense and have that negatively impact his trajectory, especially considering he's so old for being a sophomore. I mean, again, someone who's going to be a good offensive player probably, but I could see the low end there.
I mean, but to counter that, like, what are the odds that Obi is a bad role man?
Probably. I mean, he's going to be a fine role man.
Like, I think he's going to be a good role man. And, like, at the absolute worst case scenario, if he's thrust into some role where he's, like, getting a lot of post-ups and failing miserably because his center of gravity is at his neck, if that's what happens, you can always just default to using Obi as a role man, and he's going to be a positive offensive player. Yeah. Like, because, like, I'd be stunned if he's not a good role man. Because he's so vertically explosive, and I mean, he's such a skilled finisher. Like,
yeah, and he can pass and stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. He's splitting hairs here. He's probably going to be a good offensive player, especially against second units where some of the self creation stuff is probably going to be more viable.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be stunned if he's not like at least a good offensive player. And whether or not you want to really invest in like an offensive big man rotation player, I don't particularly, that's your prerogative, but like, I don't know. I think Obi is an NBA player. I think probably good enough on offense that he has some value.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, the defense is always going to hold him back. And the question is, I mean, like, how could you think the defense really is at the median? Cause I mean,
I think it's
the floor is low.
Yeah, I think at the median defense is like passable enough on the interior and very, very bad on the perimeter.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much where I'm at. I mean, which again is not a very good defender, probably not even maybe a neutral defensive center.
No, I don't think neutral
defensive that.
Center. But like on against second units, like whatever, like you can live with it. He was like pretty dynamic offensive player. Like I don't know, you know, like there are some, you know, bad big men in NBA.
Oh yeah,
like I think Obi will be like an okay one. Should we move on to your next guy, who I have a little bit lower bucket this year in Xavier Tillman, which is kind of funny that you're the one who has.
I was gonna say this is normally the other way around with Max being the one crushing on Xavier Tillman. But yeah, I mean, I just have the important thing to talk about here is the jumper, because that's really the facilitator of his ceiling. And I mean at his median, kind of like similar to Okoro, I think he's a guy who is gonna be just good enough as a shooter to really open the rest of his offensive skills. I mean, and as we talked about before, Xavier Tillman is a spectacularly skilled offensive big man. I mean, he can really dribble not just in a straight line but in different directions. He's a spectacular passer, great vision off the short roll, can pass on the move for his size, and is a spectacular finisher with his strength.
I think at his median, I think he's a pretty bad offensive player, to be honest. I think that, you know, he'll maybe shoot corner he'll take open corner threes at his median, but like not really hit them at a very high level. Like definitely won't be a major threat. I mean, yeah, the handling is nice, but like, how much does that really matter? Especially if you're not drawing like enthusiastic closeouts, and just lack of explosion, just kind of muting his impact as a role man even. So I think at his median, pretty bad offensive player. I think he'll always be a good defensive player, but you know, at his median, I think maybe the lack of vertical comes into play a bit, and he's not, you know, not reaching the, you know, impact that he's capable of at highest outcomes, but still good on that end. And that's why I've got him in this tier. I just have him down at 15. So I'm still confident in Tillman as a long-term, as a positive rotation player for a long time in the NBA, but just less confident in the offense, I think. I feel like it's kind of like the Grant Williams thing, where it's like, don't be overconfident in a guy who's got a kind of weird offensive projection as a big man surviving in the league.
Yeah,
that end.
Yeah, I mean, as we saw with, I mean, like we report with Grant, I mean, he was just a spot up guy, and it wasn't great. I think with Tillman, if he's someone who's used as like a bench DHO operator, someone who can work as a hub and like actually dribble a little bit and make something out of that at his size, that's where I kind of see the offensive value, especially in that role. Again, as a starter, probably not someone who's definitely not going to be a good offensive player without the shot. And again, that's why I had him in this tier and not the next one. Or not the higher one, but
yeah. I mean, my question would just be like, how many big men come off the bench and are like, you know, really operating?
Yeah. I mean, not many, but I do think Tillman is one that could do it if a team decides to do it for him.
I mean, I think we probably have fairly similar expectations. I'm just definitely a little lower on the offense.
My next guy who we both had in this tier, I think, is Desmond Bane, who we're both pretty high on. And again, just someone who at his median, just a positive role player, a positive rotation wing, is someone I'm pretty confident. I mean, he's going to be a good shooter at his floor, I think. The question is, like, how good of an off-dribble shooter is he going to be with which is going to determine his ceiling, but I think he's going to be a good spot-up shooter, going to shoot off movement, should have some off-dribble capability. And then if he's shooting off movement, maybe it is median. He still has quite a bit of struggle as a slasher, someone who's really not able to, someone whose handle and lack of burst limits his ability to get to the rim and finish and draw fouls, but someone who should be able to pass a little bit as a secondary off of the ball and use that shooting gravity to take advantage of the advantages he creates. And then defensively, someone who should be a fine enough defender as a wing, smart team defender, not the greatest on the ball and has the short arms, which is going to hurt his rim protection, but strong, smart, going to be a good shooter, can pass the ball. I think a pretty safe bet, even if he doesn't reach a high end outcome, to be like a guy who you want in a rotation. So.
Yeah, I feel like Bane is one of the guys I'm most confident in as a rotation player. So he's 16 for me, which is a jump up from 24 on my normal board. Really tight range of outcomes for him. At the median, probably less creation equity, just doesn't have any rim pressure, continues to play pretty soft, and maybe that and the lack of wingspan hurts him a lot defensively, and he's more of like a 1-2 defender, really can't like guard any wings. The baseline offered by being smart, by being capable of shooting off the dribble, off move, or off the catch, the like creation ability that he has, or not necessarily creation ability, but just like the decision-making ability that he has, it's all the ingredients of like an NBA off guard. He's another guy that I'm very confident in him as like a rotation player, maybe like tending more toward neutral than positive, which is kind of why he's closer to the end of this tier for me. But my expectation is that he will be an NBA rotation player.
Yeah, I just have enough confidence in the size plus shooting plus other skills, basically.
Let's move on to, I have Haliburton 13th. Which is, I think, rising a couple spots. Yeah, rising two spots from my normal board. This was kind of a tough one for me because I think he's a guy with like a pretty small range where like no matter what, he's kind of in that connecting role. And it was kind of tough for me to figure out between Haliburton and Denny, who I wanted higher, but I think I'm just more confident in Haliburton as a shooter, and that giving him as a floor really as a rotation player, where like he's reliable enough as a spot up shooter that he will be in a rotation and be pretty plus just with his intelligence. That was a tough one for me. I'd be curious to hear what your thought process was on.
Yeah, I had him. I mean, speaking of Denny, and we'll get to Denny. I had the back to back with Denny a spot ahead. A couple spots lower. Haliburton actually lowered on as compared to my main board from 15 to 16, one spot. Just because at this stage, my worry is really the defense, where he's gonna be like he's gonna get stocks and he's gonna like make impressive event creation plays, which is important, but like just like like probably his strength isn't improved that much. Still going to be a disaster at the point of attack. Not going to be able to really do much against screens, and that really just limits how plus rotation guy he can be. And again, I just still at this median level, I worry about the pull-up shooting not really being there to command enough gravity. He's going to have, yes, the passing and the shooting. The spot-up shooting is going to be good. Obviously, the passing is brilliant. But the question is, how much can you really make of that? If teams just run him off the line and force him to pass, I don't think in his median he's going to be at a place where he can really punish passive defenses who play him really passive like that and aren't aggressive stopping his trying to stop his scoring, which is just a worry for me. He's going to be a rotation player because of his intelligence and his shooting and some of the event creation, which is, again, why I have him in this plus rotation spot starter tier. But yeah, just the defense is the main thing that really turns me off to him being higher in this tier.
Yeah, I feel like, listening to you speak about that, I feel like I kind of should have changed my tier to like neutral to positive rotation, because I think a lot of these guys, definitely in like the back half of this tier for me, trend more toward that sort of neutral rotation expectation. I don't disagree with anything you said on Halliburton. I think that like you definitely can keep him from defending on the ball that much, and that will help to mitigate issues and will definitely enable him to make use of the playmaking ability he has. But yeah, just like not thinking that I don't think the offensive ceiling is that high in general, but just definitely at the median, like it's probably pretty limited impact we're talking about. I just think that's also a representation of the role we expect him to fill, like that linking role. I mean, listen to our philosophical debates with PD when we talked about that. Like, I just don't think it's that valuable of a role. I think Halliburton fits it well, and like, I'd be surprised if he's not a rotation player.
Yes. So we went to Denny, who I had one spot ahead of Halliburton, pretty much for that same reason, which is defense. Because I'm pretty confident Denny's going to be a good team defender. At his meeting, I think he could be a quite good team defender. He's going to be a rim protector. At his size, he should be able to play a little on the perimeter. Going to make good rotations, and that's basically my thing for having him a little bit ahead. Even if the shooting, I think, hopefully should be a spot up past like a guy who you can, like, maybe like not someone you really want to close out to, but someone who's maybe at like 33-ish, 34% on meh volume. That's gonna help his passing and help his slashing. But someone who I have on this tier because of real offensive worries about not being super sold on whatever that shooting ends up being, and then not being super sold on his actual slashing and creation ability, because he can definitely finish his strength at the rim, but can he actually get there and create for himself and make use of his passing in more than really like transition? Because he's going to have lots of transition value, and against second units, maybe the strength and size, if he puts it on, can be overwhelming. But just someone who's close to Halliburton for me, who firmly in this like guy who's probably going to be a solid rotation player no matter what. Unless the shot really flames out. So.
I put Denny behind Halliburton because I think at his median, he's like probably something like a fake shooter where it's like 5 attempts up per 100 in like the low 30s, where people really aren't paying attention to him as a shooter. And he, unlike Okoro, doesn't have burst to the point where like he can eat up space. So if you if you give him a cushion, he's not eating up space the way that Okoro is and then finishing through three bodies. Like, he's not doing that. So for him, I think it is really detrimental offensively. And then defensively, I think is where my main concern lies, where at the median, I think you see Denny running into a lot of issues with his body. So much of his value in with Maccabi came on the defensive end because he's such a brilliant team defender, but he is pretty skinny and lacking in reach and vertical, and that's very concerning to me for someone who is relying on team defense to produce so much of his value, because I just don't know if that is really going to translate at the level that it needs to for him to be a really plus rotation player. But
the intelligence, the transition playmaking that I think we'll see from him. I think he'll be a good team defender, just not a super high impact one. So I think at his median, he's like a, you know, fine player. You know, he's in a rotation. Halliburton, I'm a little more comfortable in him definitely as an offensive player at the median. And I think I'm just less concerned about, like, it's kind of weird because, like, Halliburton, I have obviously more concerns about his defense than Denny's, but, like, I just don't think the magnitude of Denny's defensive impact is necessarily that high if he's just hitting, like, a sort of middling outcome. And I think that, like he's more reliant on the defensive outcome being high-end than Halliburton is, and that's a concern to me.
So I'm pretty sure the last guy that we both had in this tier was Grant Riller, I think. Yeah, Grant Riller is the last guy we both had in this tier, who, again, I mean, is just with his scoring ability and his overall offensive package at his median is probably not someone who's going to be able to start because, I mean, in order to be like a point guard, initiator, starter, you have to be really high-level good. And if Riller isn't that, he's probably relegated to like a bench guard. But even as like a sixth-man bench microwave type, he's probably going to be very good at that given this package. But again, I mean, this is the bottom of this tier, again, like trending more towards like less of a plus rotation, someone who, and less of a spot starter, someone who's really just going to be like a flat rotation piece. Because I mean, even if Riller at his median isn't a super high level pull-up shooter, is going to be able to get to the rim and finish, and maybe isn't the highest level passer, I mean, is someone who, again, is going to generate value with his rim pressure and his ability to put up points against bench units, but someone who doesn't likely bring starter value without that pull-up and passing and those things requisite of starting level initiators.
Yeah, I'm generally like really out on the bench scorer, like spark plug idea. Like, I have no interest in like the Jalen Harris's of the world. But I think Riller is like probably the rare one of those where he would actually be really valuable. Like he could be a pretty nuclear off the bench offensive player. I mean, the reason I've got him, you know, like fairly high as someone who doesn't love drafting sort of backup point guards is that I think he definitely has a chance to, you know, be a starter because I mean, he just has such overwhelming skills in his burst and driving ability. And I mean, even the shot making. But I think, yeah, like even at his median, like Grant Riller is such a good offensive player that he like genuinely has value as a rotation player, as your creator off the bench. Whereas I think that like the average guy who people bill as like, you know, the six man spark plug, like really won't provide any value in that. Like they're not that good of an offensive creator and have no other skills. But Riller, I think, is like actually that good of a creator, yeah, that he'll have value in that role that I think it's pretty hard to generate value in.
Yeah, and that's why I have Riller like at the top of my third tier, like just outside the lottery on my actual board and just dropping a little bit on this board, because he really does have those high-end outcomes in the realm of possibility despite the inherent challenges of the archetype that he is as like a microwave scorer. But he's such a gifted offensive player that the chance is really there. And again, like he could be a guy that shreds the like bench units who just aren't as competent defensively.
Yeah, I mean, there's just like there's a big difference between being a guy who can like get a bucket. Like, I don't know, there's a big difference between like Alonzo Trier and Lou Williams. Like, Lou Williams is such a good offensive player that he has like very genuine positive value as a sixth man. But like just some random guy who is like another one of those college guards who can get a bucket. Like, there are so many of those guys.
Yeah.
But the ones who are genuinely like supernova offensive players, despite their other limitations, have value and like are pretty coveted, yeah, in the league. And I think Riller is definitely closer to that end of the spectrum than like just another of the Jalen Harris, Miles Powell,
Butler.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so I think we should get to the last two guys who are definitely more towards the neutral rotation but have that positive rotation ceiling for me. And that's Josh Green and Alexei Pokuševski. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk about those guys quickly. So for Green, as we talked about here, as we talked about on the show before, the big thing with him is the shot. How confident are we in the shot? how good is the shot? I think it is medium. The spot up is good enough to where he can really take advantage of the passing, which, I mean, I'm still pretty confident in his ability to pass the ball as an ancillary player if the shot is there and if he can attack closeouts. I mean, I mean as much as he's probably always going to be limited as a slasher and a finisher with his, I mean, lack of a left hand, still not super physical, doesn't really get into guys and create finishing angles. But someone who I think is with shooting and passing is going to add offensive value as like a mover connector type. And then defensively, someone who I think is going to be quite good at his median, someone who's going to be impactful both on and off the ball. So, but again, someone who very hinges on the shot there from being at the bottom of this tier and the top of next tier. And then Pokuševski, who I think is probably at his median going to be a good shooter or a fine enough shooter to where he's shooting a lot of threes. And he's adding value in that way. And then someone who is going to be a great passer in transition and should be able to make some passes in the half court and even maybe dribble a little bit in the half court, even though he's going to have struggles finishing and as a big man still. And defensively, someone who hopefully can iron out some of his kinks and is going to be a positive team defender as a rim protector, even if he's weak and technically bad and is probably always going to struggle as a primary interior defender. Again, someone who I think has enough size and utility to be a solid rotation player.
Yeah, so Green is at the end of my next tier, and Pokuševski is at the end of the tier after that for me. So Green, confident in him as a defensive player, definitely a plus defensive player. I think at his median, he's really a pretty bad offensive player because I don't really buy the shot. I think that like another fake shooter type, probably like maybe a little bit higher percentage than Denny, but still I think a shooter that people will ignore, and just such a putrid finisher because of his lack of right hand or left hand rather.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think at his median, Green is a really terrible offensive player. But like, so in my next tier, he's in the neutral to negative rotation player. Tier. So I think that's probably the difference. I think our defensive evaluation of him is probably very similar, but I don't buy him very much as an offensive player. Like I like his upside as like a dribble pass shoot offensive wing, and that's why I've you know gotten fairly high. But he also just on my normal board checks in at a point where everyone is bad, and he has an actual NBA skill in his defensive ability. So yeah, I'm less in on Green. Pokuševski, I think at his median is definitely plus on volume, but minus on efficiency from three. Probably plus on versatility as well. So just like yeah, there is value in a guy who bombs, but you do still need to make shots to generate value. And then I think defensively at his median, I think he's a pretty fake stocks guy. Honestly, like he'll still have the playmaking, but on a possession to possession basis, I think you'll see the issues that you see now of, you know, having no idea how to, you know, get into a stance or, and slide, like of just like not putting forth the effort he needs to put forth, of being so, so soft on the interior. So I think like, honestly, like at his median, he's like, you know, maybe like has some value, but it's just like a guy coaches probably hate to play because of just his lackadaisical approach and the way that he'll bomb on offense without actually making that many shots, even if they're like mathematically like kind of good. And then I think just the possession to possession defense, I think is really going to bother coaches just because, you know, the flash plays will be nice and, you know, he'll probably be overrated by defensive metrics because of that, if I had to guess. Yeah. And you know, and people looking at his basketball reference page will always think like, why isn't this guy playing more? But I think at his median, the defense is pretty fake, and the shooting is like a lot better in theory than it is in practice.
Once again, we are splitting this episode into two parts. On Wednesday, we will have part two of our median outcome board discussions, finishing up our final tiers, honorable mentions, and our catching eye guys as usual. Make sure to follow the pod on Twitter at prep2propod. Ben, you can follow me at ben_Pfeiffer_. You can follow Max on Twitter at maxacarlin. That's all we have for you today. Have a nice day.